Pete Carroll, who is the man that got me to leave Kansas City after 14 years, a man with more energy per square inch, more enthusiasm. Here's a guy that was playing basketball in the parking lot of the Jets facility after every practice. Pete Carroll, you're one of a kind, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, Nick?
How are you? Are you happy today? Are you enthusiastic today? Are you your usual very quiet, unenthusiastic?
No, I'm kind of melancholy today. You know, it's the second day of spring football coming up. I don't want to overshoot. You know, right now, so I'm laying low. Now we're getting pumped up. We're going after it and getting this thing cranking again and excited that springtime's here. It's nice and sunny out here and going to be about 80 degrees on the practice field. It'll be beautiful today.
Well, this show is about how people deal with pressure and expectations. It's about leadership and performance. And, of course, the coach is the leader that does that. We've had Tony Dungy and Herman Edwards and Marv Levy and Jack Del Rio on the last couple of weeks. But, frankly, I have been licking my chops to have you on the show because you can talk about the difference between motivating these young, incredibly talented USC players versus at the Patriots and the Jets in San Francisco. What's the biggest difference between the guys that are, say, 22, 23, fresh in the NFL versus some of these guys that know they're going there like a Reggie Bush?
Well, there's a time frame in there that isn't a clear-cut distinction. You know, you got to let guys get in the NFL for 3, 4, 5 years before they start developing their opinions that they didn't have when they were in college and they're younger. You know, the young kids don't know any better, and they do what you tell them to do, and they don't challenge, and they don't have an opinion that's strong enough and founded enough and enough experience where they question. You know, and as you get to the older kids, and as they're the same guys as they're 22 and 23, but once they've put a contract under their belt and they've signed a second contract and they get into their second move there, then those guys start to get a little bit of an opinion of you know, what's good for them and what's worked for them, and they then have a tendency to scrutinize a little more so and question. And don't get me wrong now, not everybody's like that, but there are players that do start to, you know, act upon their opinion, and that is the difference between the young kids. You know, if you go to an NFL camp and the mini camps and you coach all these kids that are fresh out of college, they're all jacked up and pumped up whether they're draft picks or not. They want to do everything exactly the way the coaches want them to, and they don't have any reason not to do it that way. But that does shift in time with some kids, and you just got to stay ahead of it and know who you're dealing with.
Talking with Pete Carroll, best coach in college football, in my opinion. I saw it every day in New York. And Pete, let's be honest. Let's be real here about New York. It was as if you had to overcome a black cloud there. I often felt like it was like Poltergeist 2, where they built that development on an Indian burial ground, and there was just bad karma. And somebody who was optimistic like you could overcome that. But, you know, they didn't give you a second chance. Then you go to the Patriots. You know, you had a chance with San Francisco, did a tremendous job as defensive coordinator, and then the Patriots following Bill Parcells. What are the biggest lessons with regard to how you conduct yourself in terms of discipline? We talked with Tony Dungy about criticizing players in a way where they take it as a chance to improve. They just don't take it as an attack on their character. How do you impose, how have you learned how to discipline players and yet still be optimistic and open to them?
Well, you know, to me it's a discussion that you need to clear the kind of the groundwork here for what you're talking about. To me, discipline isn't about punishing people and reprimanding negative or positive reinforcing necessarily. Discipline to me is the ability to teach your team how to perform under pressure and with all kinds of things going on, and they can execute and do the things they're supposed to do regardless of what the circumstances are outside of them and around them that could cause them to lose focus and lose their ability to do things as they're capable. That, to me, that's where the discipline, I always go to that. Now, when you're talking about solving problems with people who are out of line and all that, that's a different area. That's in the NFL. It's called fines, you know, and it's called sitting them down, you know, where it is in all levels, but that's a different issue. So first off, I've found and have learned in the last 10 years or so, probably from the time I went to San Francisco and then went through the New England experience, that the discipline of your football program comes from your ability to know what you want and to stay with your principles and to drill your players and train them and elevate their belief in what they are asked to do and their ability to do the things that they're called on to do, regardless of the circumstances. That's where the discipline comes in, the way you practice, the way you teach, the standards that you hold your players to, and your uncompromising principles that keep you on track with what it takes to get the job done. Now, when you're dealing with guys that have issues and problems, you know, you have to identify the players that are the error repeaters, the guys that are constantly gonna buck the norm or try to do things on their own, try to think for themselves, you know, and you have to separate that guy from the program where he can hurt you. I made a major mistake in trying to deal in New England when I was dealing with Terry Glenn. You know, he was a kid that had a lot of issues and a lot of real life problems that he was dealing with and all that. And I wanted to solve that guy's issues and I wanted to make him a great player and bring him through it. And he just wouldn't let it happen. You know, he had so much reason to not trust the world around him and all that. I had trouble disciplining that kid, and in essence, it made me look bad in some situations with that guy in our team, because I kept trying to give him a second and a third chance when I really needed to stop and draw the line and kind of put him in a category where he needed to be reprimanded at the time, so he could, you know, he could stand separated from the rest of the team. And so you have to know when to do those things, and I feel like I'm better at it than I used to be, and it's a great challenge for a coach. You know, one of the greatest coaches of all time, John Wooden, would tell you that the first thing he do is use the bench. You know, that's how you discipline your players. You don't play them, and sometimes that's hard too, because you want to win, you know. And so it's an interesting challenge and issue for a coach, and you got to figure it out. I hope you do it well.
Well, Coach, your spirit is infectious. One of the best speeches I ever got from any coach I ever had was before the opening game of my first game with my first season for the Jets in Buffalo, and you had the team close their eyes and you said, now start imagining what it will be like when we come into the locker room after we've beaten these guys. This is a team that was, you know, right in the Super Bowl the year before. You know, imagine what it will feel like. And you had us really get grounded in that, and when we came out, we just crushed them. Yeah. What is your best approach now? Is it the same, or have you adjusted it a little bit for the different audience?
Well, it's the point there, that really the approach that we're talking about right there is projecting through the desired result. You know, you know, everybody wants to win a game, and quite often people don't realize how important it is to project your goals through what you the desired result, and get your thought process to take you past, you know, that which you really want to achieve. And the reason for that, you can come up short if you don't go past it. It's like a dad coming home from work, you know, and he's you know, thrilled to get home with the family, but he just can't wait to get on that couch and take a nap, you know, and take a little break from his hard day. And he gets there and he gets to the couch, and that's all he gets done. Then the kids are wondering when dad's going to play and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to, you know, you're going to get through, you're going to take a little break, but I'm going to play with the kids, and I'm going to, you know, make sure that I tuck them in at night, you know, and you project all the way through, and you find energy that you didn't realize that you had, and motivation that you didn't realize you had, that can take you way farther than you might have gone otherwise.
Hey, Coach, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back with final comments with Pete Carroll in just a second. Games Radio. Welcome back with Pete Carroll. Pete, I wanted to play this from our good friend Tony Dungy, another outstanding NFL defensive coordinator who's made it to the top level, about balance.
Well, it's certainly a fine line we all walk in terms of balancing your career, balancing your family, but that's a regret that I would never want to have. And I understand what Phil's saying. He might have done things a little differently, but I think none of us ever want that. And that's something that I encourage my players and talk to them all the time about, that number one in our lives is our family.
That's Tony Dungy. Pete, you know, you have achieved, and you came within just a few points in that incredible national championship game, of doing what no one has ever done. How do you keep your balance in our final minute and a half on this show? Tell us how you keep balance when everybody's expecting so much from you.
Well, it's a great challenge, as Tony was talking about, and it's one that you try and keep grounded in all things. You know, I've given so much to this effort and this program here that, you know, your family situation, you know, the balance that you need in your own life to keep your wits about you is a real challenge, you know. And what I've always found is that I have to learn how to identify the spaces between the spaces, you know, and maximize the opportunities that you have to get clear, and do the same thing with your family. When you have your chances, you really have to focus and be there for them and be on point, you know. And that's in the limited scope, you know, that we get to, when we get away from these jobs, if you don't do it well, then you know, you are drawn away from your crowd. So it's just a good challenge that we have, and we're lucky to be in the situation we have. And you need understanding folks in the family to make sure that they maximize too, and you just try to do the best you can and keep it all together.
Well, you've kept it all together, my friend. I do hope we can continue this conversation in the next few weeks. I know you're a busy man, but bless you for the example you are for somebody that can inspire people and still remain himself, my friend. Pete Carroll, you're the best. Appreciate
it. It's great to talk to you. Get me again.
We'll see you all tomorrow on Head Games Radio. Thanks for listening.